In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the sixth month, the 28th day, the year of our Lord, 2015. And it's the fifth Lord's Day after Pentecost. The title of this lecture is The Pro-Homosexual, Anti-Slavery, Black Racist Obama is Anti-Bible. This was a big week for the homosexuals. They reached one of their pinnacles of their utopian society where these homos are getting married all over the world. The Supreme Court, on the sixth weekday, 626, passed a ruling that homosexuals are now allowed to get married in all the states. And therefore, they took it out of the hands of the states, and every state now has to allow homosexuals getting married. All right? And there's only about 12 states or 13 states left anyway that didn't accept it. But they took it out of the hands of the states and made it technically the law of the land. This is just one more giant, humongous sign that we're living in the final days. I don't think in the history of mankind that you'll ever find from the beginning of the creation of Adam and Eve that any society, pagan as they are, ever tried to say homos can get married. You had homosexual societies like Sodom and Gomorrah, the Greek Spartans, they had their homos. I don't think you ever had anybody pretend they can marry one another and even raise children. This is one of the biggest abominations that you're looking at on the moral order that shows you how faithless this whole world is. But this is from the Supreme Court of the United States. And what else do you expect? This is the road that we've been heading down towards. It's a punishment for the democracy right from the beginning, but nevertheless, it's extremely evil, and we have to call it what it is. Now, they're celebrating. After this was passed, the homos are going crazy. They had a parade yesterday and today. And when homos have their parades, which homos like that are out in public, homosexuality should really have the death penalty, first of all. Now they're out in the open, of course, and they're parading. And when they parade, they show all their filthiness in their parades. And they show it on our TV sets, on our news reports. All the newscasters that are reporting this thing are ecstatic. They love it. There's no neutrality in this. There's no other side to this. And I still would say, I bet you there's more than half of the people in the United States that are against this. And every time they took it up as a vote in the states, it was voted down. And then the judge, the state judge, would overrule the people's vote. Now, I'm not for democracy, but this country's supposed to be for democracy. So if you're for democracy, then you let the people vote it. If the people don't want it, then you don't have it. But that's not the way it's happened. It's really a tyranny. Or it's a tyranny because the people that are ruling this place are evil. There's no such thing as democracy anyway. But the point is that all these newscasters and all these people that are reporting it are 100% for it. They'll give you five people that are praising the law, how happy they are, these fruitcakes. They got them kissing right on the news reports, mugging it up with one another. If you just look at these people on the natural law, they're a bunch of freaks. They should be killed, right? They're freaks. But they're showing them on the news reports. For every five they interview that's for it, they'll maybe only get one person that's against it. Maybe. Not even sometimes. And say, well, there's another group of people in this country maybe that don't like this. No kidding. Quite a few of them too. And you're ignoring that whole half. And I think it's more than half. Millions of people that oppose it. And so they get one person that comes on and says something very weak. Very weak. He'll say, this wasn't right because the Supreme Court overruled our democracy. The people in the state should be allowed to decide this issue on their own. It should go to a vote to the people. Insufficient argument. That's true what they're saying here. That's some type of an argument. But the real argument is this is an abomination in the eyes of God. It's against the natural law. It's a sin that's going to bring a curse down upon this country. Even people that don't have any religion, even atheists, have a law upon their heart. So they should know that this does not constitute marriage. Look up marriage in the dictionary. It's a man and a woman that can produce a child. Period. You want to call it something else? If you want to call it what it really is, it's an abomination. You can try to redefine what a dog is and say he's now a fish and throw him in the river, put him under the water, and he's not going to be able to breathe. It's the same thing what they're trying to do here with this marriage thing. It's not marriage by any way or any definition in the history of mankind. That's what the opposition should say. But if anybody believed like that, and there's a lot of people that do believe like that, they're not going to put them on the news report. They're not going to let that opinion, and it's not an opinion, it's a dogma, that natural law dogma be heard on TV. You don't hear it. The homos, one homo, another homo announcer, the women's that are announcing, they look like homos. They look like men with their haircuts. The men look like faggots. They're so prissy and homosexual sounding. They got their rainbow colors flying all over the place. They go into the crowds where the homosexuals are celebrating, kissing one another and mugging it up with one another and making sexual innuendos with their bodies, the way they're moving around and shaking around. And they're shoving it in our face. They're pushing for civil war in this country. And it is going to happen. They're pushing for it because it's not over. This is not good. Right here is what I'm saying. You can see that the whole press is behind. It was so, they were celebrating so much. I don't think this ever happened before, neither. The White House, that faggot homosexual Obama and his lesbian wife that are pretending to be married just to look good to get elected. This guy's presidency has done more evil than any president. They're all evil, the president. Now, I'm not making excuses for any of them. This whole country's evil from the minute it was conceived. But Obama has done some extreme evil. Well, he had the White House lit up in rainbow colors. Rainbow colors in the White House. You got more than half of the people in this country, first of all, are disgusted with this, and they're shoving it in your face. I don't think at the end of World War II, when they had their so-called big victory, they lit up the White House with special colors. They got the faggots doing this, lighting up the White House with rainbow colors. You got the Mayor de Blasio in New York, that other faggot supporter, that effeminate faggot man, coming out with all the rainbow colors, making an announcement in New York about how, he says, a victory for love. This is love? This is hatred. It's hatred of God. It's hatred of the family. It's hatred of marriage. It's hatred of God's Ten Commandments. That's not love. It's disgusting. It's filthy. It's an abomination to God. And he's announcing it, and he has two guys by the microphone. He says, now, husband and husband, kiss one another. And he has them kiss one another. Then right after that, they show them getting married now in New York because they can now get married. And they have a woman, a lesbian woman judge, marrying these two women. He says, you are now wife and wife. Kiss one another. They show the kiss and they celebrate and they're all happy. I'm telling you something. It is grounds for civil war. If you had enough people to gather together and protest this thing first and foremost and they don't listen, we're heading for a civil war. And it's going to come and they know it. They got their military, National Guard, ready to come after people like us. Like us. But my thing is, when the people are responding to this, the only people they put on are very weak. The opposite opposition. Very weak. They make a political argument. You should let the people vote on it. You know, even with the Republicans, right? They're weak on this, most of them, not all of them. But some of them will come out and say stuff like, well, this is judicial tyranny. They took it out of the hands of the people. This is not a democracy anyway. And this is just one proof of it, by the way. The Supreme Court comes and says, we protect minorities when their rights are being violated. Well, then that's not democracy. You're taking a minority opinion like abortion at one time when it wasn't a minority and the Roe Wade thing and you're overturning it and making it in the majority. Or like with the blacks and slavery. So we speak for that. Even though the people would still vote for slavery back in those days, we're going to take it out. We're going to support the blacks. So that's what they're trying to say. So you're getting burned by your own constitution, by your own United States laws. It's written in your own laws. This homosexual thing that's happening now where they're elevating themselves, it's written in your own laws. You can't stop it. They can do whatever they want. Everything is allowed. Everything except if you preach true Christianity. And only Catholics are true Christians, but even nominal Christians that are preaching some truths about Christianity, they're the only ones now who are going to be shut down. Now, some of the Republicans will come out and say, this is against the traditional family. That's a proper response. Man and a woman, that's a proper response. You know, that's not even strong enough for me, but that's true. That's still a good response. I would say it's against the traditional family, man, woman, to produce children, but it's also an abomination against the natural law and God. It stinks. It's filthy. It's ugly. And it's going to bring a super duper curse down upon this country. This country's been cursed anyway, believe me, a billion times over from the minute it was instituted years ago. This is just more proof of it. But it's going to bring down a super abundant curse. That's the proper response. You give a response like that, you'll never hear it on TV, on the major news networks. NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox Network. You'll never see that true statement. Like I'm telling you right now. Our voice is silenced in the news. And they always tell you on PBS, the news report, we are the most honest level. Everybody comes to us for the truth. We present all sides of the issue. No, you don't. I'm not the only one preaching this on this Lord's Day. We're the only true Christians. We're Catholics. But there's a lot of nominal Christians, Muslims, Orthodox Jews, and other people with the natural law preaching against this stuff right now. It's not just us. And this definitely, by the way, Huckabee even said this, and he's right. All Christians, we know they're not all Christians, all nominal Christians, and I'll go further, and everybody with the natural law, Muslims too, and Orthodox Jews who are against this, should civil disobedience against this law. Get together a protest. March on Washington. Do not support any of these large companies that support homosexual marriages if it's possible. Sometimes you can't help it. You may have to go to that company to buy something. But if it's possible, boycott the companies that are supporting this. Civil disobedience is now the order of the day. Civil war will be the order of the day if they start locking us up for preaching. They start trying to tell these people you got to marry them in your own churches. If somebody came in here and said, Richard, you had a guy here that you kicked out of your church because you said he was a homosexual. And then they're going to try to come and oppress us. That's civil war. That's when we succeed from the United States. And I tell you, it's going to happen that way. Texas, the South, pretty soon it's going to happen. Because they're not going to stop with this. That's what one guy says I'm worried about. They're going to start coming after us who are against this and force us to accept it in our churches, in our homes. And people that are working, they give out these marriage licenses now. They got to give out marriage licenses to homeless. And it's against their conscience. It's against not just their conscience. It's against the natural law. They can't do it. And if they do it, they're committing deep mortal sins. We went over this lecture a while ago about if you're a florist and you don't go to a homosexual so-called wedding because you're against it, they're going to put you out of business. They're already doing this today, folks. When it comes to that time, when they're pushing us this far, that nobody pays any more taxes, we start fighting against this government and succeed from it. That's going to happen eventually. Right now, we're at the point where civil protests should take place on this thing. They're pushing it. To me, it's a blessing, though. We have to thank God for this because God's exposing how evil the United States is. Let all you people that are opposing this law understand it's not just this law that's evil. It's the United States' whole Constitution where they promise equality and liberty to all people. That's heresy. Not all people are equal. Wives have to be submissive to their husbands and children, submissive to their parents. And not even all races are equal depending on what. Slavery is a legitimate thing in God's eyes, too. This is another thing they're railing against, slavery. There's nothing intrinsically evil about slavery. It's in the Bible. There's a good slavery. There's an evil slavery. What I'm trying to tell you is you have to give up this whole United States Constitution and throw it in the garbage. That's the only solution to this. And this is where we're heading. This is just in your face. And all these networks, Google even today, when you type in something about gay marriage, homosexual marriage, they call them gay, right? They're faggots. They're homosexuals. They're fruitcakes. Queers. Call them whatever you want, but don't call them something nice. They got rainbows up there, like almost like a firework display. Google, celebrating. Well, if there's any other search engine that you could use other than Google, use it. But if you can't, because that's the only one, then you have to use it, okay? We still are allowed to put our view up on YouTube and stuff where they can read the truth, at least so far. Pretty soon, that's even going to be banned. That's where we're heading. And as I mentioned about several weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, we talked about the transgender freaks. That's another thing they're throwing in your face. This is so bad, you can't even imagine it. Well, Frontline, which is one of these major documentary shows on TV, next week on the 30th day, the sixth month, they have a program called Growing Up Trans. And they show you all these transgender people and how nice it is them growing up now that they're transgender. They're pushing it down your throat. This is what you're looking at today. They're showing your kids this on TV. You understand kids are growing up looking at this stuff. That's why the devil's doing it. He's poisoning your youth. He's poisoning your children. If you are all against this, you got to now completely scream. You have to do it anyway. TV's bad in more ways than one. But this is just exceptionally gross. It's even on the news reports. And you got all these people, they put them all on. They're all experts now, right? Five experts supporting how they love this marriage thing and why it's legitimate and all that, and you get no opposition. No opposition, because the opposition you have is so filthily weak. They don't talk like I do. For instance, if anybody just quotes the Bible verse, Leviticus 20:13, if anyone lie with a man as with a woman, both have committed abomination, let them be put to death, their blood be upon them. You just quote that, you're banned. Hate crime, you're going to be locked up. I think in Canada, they already lock you up for that. When they start doing that against us and don't even let us do it at all, they lock us up in jail, that's when it's civil war, folks. That's when we break away from the United States and tell people, don't pay your taxes, fight against them as much as possible. Don't fight against innocent people. I'm not saying that. But against the United States government, we will then formulate a combat against the whole government itself when they do it. What choice do we have? We lose our souls if we renege our faith. What did our Lord say? He says, anybody who tries to save his life will lose his soul. because you got to put the faith above your own life. That's where we're all heading with this. But right now, the life of the souls of our children are at stake, and other people are being scandalized by this. And that's why what we can do now at this stage of the great apostasy is at least civil protest. They should really have a thing on the internet, or at least protest, where giant protest where you can show up, or at least on the internet, have somebody has one page, maybe I'll even start it. And on that page, everybody who's against this puts their name. So we'd have Mary's Little Remnant against homosexuality and homosexual marriages. And then each one of us would put our name on that. And then everybody else who wants to can put their name in their organization on that. And then we can also say, here's the politicians that are supporting this. And here's the politicians that are against this. Here's the companies that are supporting it. Here's the companies that are against it and neutral. At least you can do something like that. And then if it's possible, don't support them. Now, we had another thing happening. And these things sort of link in together. I'll show you how the link happens. But at first, you may not understand the link as we go on this point. I was on the 6th month, the 17th day of 2015. You had a white racist named Dylan Roof killed 9 innocent black people. When I mean innocent, I mean they weren't worthy of being murdered, okay? No one's innocent. Only Catholics could be in a state of grace. So I'm not telling that these people are in a state of grace. They were Protestant black people, but they weren't doing anything that murdered for this. They were murdered, okay? And so this kid was a maniac, plain and simple, right? And these 9 murders took place. He went into the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopalian Church in Charleston, North Carolina. It's called Mother Emmanuel Church, the AME Church, because he wanted to fight against blacks because he's angry about how the blacks are committing all these crimes against white people. And that's a good thing to be angry at, that there are a lot of blacks committing crimes against white people, but these blacks weren't doing it. These don't happen to... They were sort of supporting it maybe by not speaking out against it a lot. But so he's taking it out on these 9 people in this church, and he went in there and then he killed them. He killed 9 of them. My thing is, if this guy was really angry about the black racists, the really bad ones, about black on white crime, he should have done what the Death Wish guy did. Remember the movie Death Wish? When he went around in New York City and he killed all the criminals at night, then when he saw, he should have went in and killed some black criminals that were really raping, mugging, drug addicts, not just black people, but just criminals. He should have gone in there and maybe shot 9 of them instead. Then it would have been more justified. So what he did here was wrong. He took his anger out on people that were innocent in this regard. Now, I don't say they're totally innocent neither, because they don't speak up enough against their own black people and the evils they're doing. They should. A lot of them, when they speak up for civil rights for blacks, what they're really talking about is equal rights for blacks to commit crimes against whites and get away with it. Because in spite of all this, when all you care about now is all these white people are racist against black people, you never hear it the other way around. Never. You never hear about, aren't there any black people that are racist against white people anymore in the world? Did they all of a sudden eradicate this? They're such racists, if you go into the inner cities, they'll even tell you themselves. Go into the inner cities. Look at these black radicals. They talk about white people all the time. Crackers, they got all kinds of names for them. They're committing so much crime against white people, and you never hear it. So there is some truth being said here, and you got this stupid white kid went off the beam and he took it out the wrong way. And he happened to, in this case, killing innocent people. Not totally innocent. They have some say in it, but still what he did was murder. And he should be killed for it. So I'm not supporting what he did. He should get the death penalty. I won't even wait this long. He already said he did it. You call him, I kill the bastard. He should be dead. In my lecture, Black Radicals, Racists, and Criminals, I warned the black people that you're going to instigate the white people and you're going to get them to go against you. So you're going to get kooks like this guy, this white racist kid, to even kill you unjustly. And I said, if we did what you did against us and marched down your neighborhoods, every time a black guy kills a white guy and disrupts all the innocent black people, that's what you're doing to us. I don't condone it. I says we shouldn't do that because I would be disrupting black people that are good, or at least on a natural plane good, that don't deserve that. I don't condone that. But that's what you're instigating. You do it to the white people when you march through their neighborhoods and burn their stores and blow up their cars. You don't expect to get something back? Well, this is one result. You're going to get the kooky white people, first of all, coming out and killing you unjustly. And then you're going to eventually get some just white people killing the black radicals justly. There's a civil war coming around the corner here. And the good blacks and the good whites better get on the right side away from these radicals, these criminals, these gangsters that support and condone sin. But where is the press's responsibility to report the truth in a matter, there is infinitely greater amount of black on white crime than white on black. Very minimal white on black. Minimal. Minimal. Black on white, gigantic. Turn on the news reports and you'll never hear it. You will never hear it. They keep it from your eyes because you're exalting radical blacks. They're exalting radical blacks and they're condemning slavery, which was instituted by God. I'm sorry, slavery is not evil. God instituted to punish races and people when they rebel against him and to humble them and to give them a chance to turn back to him in their humble and enslaved state. He enslaved his own people, his own chosen people, the Jews in Egypt, to punish them. And then after they did their time, they'd be released. Speaking of slaves, St. Peter says, slaves, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, 1 Peter 2:18. And St. Paul says, exhort slaves to be obedient to their masters, in all things pleasing, not gainsaying, Titus 2:9, not complaining. St. Paul also says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 8, slaves, be obedient to them that are your lords according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and simplicity of your heart, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man shall do, the same shall he receive from the Lord, whether he is bond, a slave, or free. The fact that God punished you black people with slavery is a sign that it is a special love and care for you. Yes, it does. We read this from Hebrews 12, 6 to 8. St. Paul says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. Persevere under discipline. God dealeth with you as with his sons. For what son is there whom the father does not correct? But if you be without chastisement, whereof you are all made partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. We also read in 2 Maccabees 6:13, for it is a token of great goodness when sinners are not suffered to go on in their ways for a long time, but are presently punished. In this case, you black people were punished by slavery down south. God punished his own chosen people during the old covenant era, the Jews, time and time again with hard bondage. He punished them for 40 years in the desert when they refused to fight to go into the promised land. They had to wander in the desert for 40 years for disobeying God. And after the 40 years, God lifted their bondage and allowed them to enter the promised land. And God again punished his chosen people, the Jews, for 400 years of slavery in Egypt because of their sins. After which God sent Moses to liberate them, and they were finally freed. We read in Acts 7:6 about their 400-year slavery in Egypt. And God said to him that his seed should sojourn in a strange country, and that they should bring them under bondage to treat them evil for 400 years. God has done this to his own chosen people when they sinned time and time again. And if they did their penance peacefully without rebelling, God eventually released them. If the blacks would have done their time down south and shut their mouth and done their slavery the way they should, without this rebellion freeing them from the north, they would have been still freed sooner or later, and they would be way better than they are today. Down south, when they were enslaved, most of your slave owners, almost, I say 99% of them, treated their slaves the right way. They cared for them. They took care of them. They were way better off than when they were freed. They came up north in the tenements, started doing drugs, looking at pornography, getting infected in the American dream by rising up the ladder and becoming politicians and then becoming a feminist so you can't open your mouth anymore. They think they're free now. You're more of a slave now than you were when you were in slavery down south. You're more of a slave now. The white anti-slavery, high-tech heathens have promised you liberty, whereas they themselves are slaves of corruption. That's 2 Peter 2:19. These white, high-tech heathens commit multiple and gross sins against the faith and morals, and hence are slaves. Jesus said, amen, amen, I say to you, that whosoever committeth sin is a slave of sin. That's John 8:34. These white anti-slavery, high-tech heathens have placed you black people under a much worse slavery than when you were physical slaves down south. You are now under a hard spiritual slavery and bondage to the devil. You learn from these high-tech white heathens and their American dream how to become rebellious, liars, deceivers, power-hungry, vain, greedy, selfish, lovers of money, envious, unchaste to the highest degree, homosexuals, effeminate, and hypocritical. If you would have listened to St. Paul's following words and rested and stayed under your slavery down south and let God release you, not the devil, none of these things would have happened to you that happened to you today. We read about this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 to 10. Whoever are slaves under the yoke, let them count their masters worthy of all honor, lest the name of the Lord and his doctrine be blasphemed. Do not rebel. Do not listen to these northerners. Accept your slavery in peace and contentment. He goes on to say, but they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but serve them the rather because they are faithful and beloved who are partakers of the benefit. Here he's talking about Catholics can even have Catholic slaves. Catholic masters can have Catholic slaves, and that's according to God's will. That's what St. Paul's saying here. He goes on to say, these things teach and exhort. If any man teach you otherwise and consent not to sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to that doctrine, which is according to godliness, which is slaves, be obedient to your masters. Do not rebel against them. Do not be incited against them. Do not murmur or complain. He says, these people that try to incite you, like these northerners, when they try to free you from this bondage by the devil's help, he says, these people, he says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but sick about questions and strifes of words, from which arises envies, contentions, blasphemies, evil suspicions, conflicts of men corrupted in mind, who are destitute of the truth, supposing gain to be godliness. He's offering you money, power, gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we have brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. But having food and wherewith to be covered, with these be content. Don't listen to them bribing you with their money and their power and everything. Be content in your slavery down there. They're feeding you every day. You're not going to get infected with all the sins that they're infected with. He says, again, we repeat, but having food and wherewith to be covered, with these be content. For they that will become rich fall into temptation, into the snare of the devil, and into many unprofitable, hurtful desires, which drown men unto the destruction and perdition, power hungry, envious, loving of money, just like the white high-tech heathens that they are imitating now. For the desire of money is the root of all evils, which some coveting have erred from the faith and have entangled themselves in many sorrows. That's where you stand now, you black people that bit the American bullet in the dream. You're in worse sins than you can ever imagine that you ever were when you were down south in slavery. Indeed, because you black people did not obey your masters down south, but rebelled, God has cursed you with a worse slavery when you were freed by the white high-tech heathens. That is, freed to sin with impunity. Indeed, you are still slaves, but now slaves of sin to the highest degree. Obama's the biggest slave of all. Whose work is he doing? The work of the apostate Jews and the Freemasons. He's preaching things and doing things he probably doesn't even want to do because he has to do it because he bit the American bullet. And he's doing things that are filthy with the homosexual thing that they will not allow him to do if he was down south and still a slave. Now, I'm going to make a point on this because they always bring this up. And the apostate antipopes are the ones that are responsible for this also because they are coming out and condemning slavery. Well, you're condemning God. God ordained slavery. Now, we're going to get to some irony on this whole point. Because this particular maniac, white racist kid, was showing the Confederate flag when he went in there and he murdered these people. Big deal. That doesn't mean the Confederate flag's evil, because this kid, every time somebody has a United States flag up on their front lawn and goes out and rapes their neighbor, should I take down the United States flag? Even the United States flag, years ago, not more than 100 years ago, when they didn't have all this liberation, was oppressing people. So why not get rid of the United States flag? Why not get rid of the Israeli flag? Because of the Israelis' racism against the Palestinians. They're murdering and unjust imprisoning of the Palestinians, and they're stealing of their homes and lands. But Obama does not really care about the unjust slavery and treatment of the Palestinians because he's a black racist. He only cares about the black race and only about black criminals, gangsters, radicals, homosexuals, feminists, and liberals. All your liberal blacks that hide behind the civil rights movement are racists. I go to a clip from Pastor James David Manning of Atla Ministries. Because he exposes the civil rights movement, black radicals, racist and criminals, he is called a coon, Uncle Tom, and a self-hating black. Just as they call Jews like me anti-Semites and self-hating Jews for correctly denouncing evil Jews.
Black people are the most racist people you've ever seen in all your days. If you know a black person, he or she is a hardcore racist. Not a little bit of racist. not partial racist, sometime part-time. If you know a black person, they are racist. And by racist, I mean they are filled with hatred for God, hatred for the fidelity of his word, and they have no production in humanity. Black people are the most racist people on the entire earth. Nearly 96% of black people voted for Barack Hussein Obama, not because of his character, because they knew he was a baby killer. They knew it. They knew he believed in infanticide. They knew it before they voted for him. He's black, Pastor Manning, and we black races have got to stick together. Church mother said to me, because they weren't judging by the character, they were judging because they are racist black people. They are racist. The black presence before God is like the lie before God. You can't tell the difference between Satan's use of a lie on humanity than Satan's use of black racism on humanity. They're both the same. You would discover that 95% of the income that flows into black people comes from racism. Affirmative action, food stamps, the Great Society, laws, equal equality laws, all racism. You can say they're good for humanity if you want, but it's racism is what it is. 95% of the gross domestic product that flows into the life of every black person you know comes as a result. In other words, black people without racism will be dirt poor. If they didn't have racism, they wouldn't have any money. That's how they get their money. Racism is a money tree. Don't you see how rich Al Sharpton is? Don't you see how rich Jesse Jackson is? He's a racist leader. That's where black people get their money from. Racism. Without it, they'd have no money. But black people have not always been racist. They haven't. The era of the civil rights, we can mark that period from 1954 if we like, until present, if you want to call that, and that is an era, it is a period where racism was birthed, it has grown, it has ceased. It is now one of Satan's greatest weapons in the earth today, black people. They are racist. But the Reconstruction period, my friends, was a time when blacks built. We're talking about from 1865, up until the Industrial Age and even through that period when Jim Crow started in the 1920s. But from 1865 to 1920s, black people built banks. They became prosperous. They became millionaires. We had more millionaires right after slavery than we do now. Oprah Winfrey and Robert Johnson, all that crowd of liars and racist thieves, are nothing compared to the number of black millionaires who, and even to this very day, there's still black people from East Texas to Maryland, right up to Pennsylvania, who still own land from slavery. They can trace it all the way back to the time of Reconstruction. They didn't get the 40 acres of the mule, but through their own abilities, after watching the master, they own hundreds, if not thousands, of acres of land, and little by little it dwindled down, but they passed that land on to their children and their grandchildren, and they're living on it today. That's Reconstruction. That wasn't civil rights. Before racism, before civil rights. And they own that land even until today. Businesses. When I first came to this community, everywhere you looked, there was a black business. Everywhere you looked, there was a black store. There was one right up the street up here. Out of Reconstruction, out of Jim Crow, here comes civil rights and racism, and black people said, we don't have to be store owners anymore. We can be racist and shake down the government. And our shakedown artist is Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and the NAACP. We don't have to own stores anymore. We don't even have to go to church anymore. We can be racist. Racist. You work with black people now? Try to hire them, right? Give them a job. You're white. First time you tell them, listen, pick this up and do care of that. You're racist. I'm going to tell Jesse Jackson. I'm going to tell Al Sharpton. And he's going to march on you. Racism. But under your favorite leaders, under your mindset, under your racism from 1970 until present, if you're talking about an advancement, if you're talking about us being a better people, judges have handed out 50 million years of prison sentences to the black man. Where from 1970 all the way back to 1865, there were barely 10,000 years handed out. Are we better off? Young black people don't like me, right? On my Facebook page, YouTube, he's Uncle Tom. Manning don't like black people. Now the most popular black artists have made millions of dollars calling the black woman a bitch, a hoe, a hoochie mama, and spitting at them. Call me a hoe, call me a bitch, call me a hoe. And they're making millions of dollars. You're talking about a depraved, a state of being. And not only that, hip-hop music, it may have a little beat to it that you can get into your jungle activity. You got that jungle juice in you, so doom, doom, doom. But it's basically born in violence, killing, often people, killing this and killing that. It was born killing each other, the East Coast, West Coast, gang supported. And yet you call that music, you call that progress. You see how racist and what civil rights has done to your morality and integrity? Ain't no way you could have stood up and called a black woman a bitch back in the day and can't call her a hoe and get paid. I mean, you can get paid calling young black women hoes and hoochie mamas. You see how deprived you are? And you say you don't like me? You see what God thinks about you and yours? If you're black, you support it. You listen, you got hip-hop music in your house. Your children listen to it. You bought it for them. You listen to the hoes and the bitches and the hoochie mamas. Racism. God is saying now he's calling for the destruction of Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Martin, Marielle, Oprah Winfrey, and all that crowd of racists and nothing but pure, cold-blooded racists. And they're in the hands of Satan, tantamount to the lie that Satan uses as well. And I'm here to preach it. Now, in a few moments, you're going to hear me say that God's calling for the annihilation and utter destruction of all the race baiters, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and every other person who supports racism. The only way you are going to get rid of this weapon that's as deadly as a lie, who are black races, is that you've got to annihilate the leadership thereof. That way you'll put away racism out of the hearts of people.
He's right. The problem is the liberal blacks who use the civil rights movement to turn blacks into victims, to grant them special favors that they are not worthy of, to allow them to sin with impunity, and to deny slavery, which God ordains for just causes. The problem is not the Confederate flag. They want to get rid of the Confederate flag. The real reason Obama gave when he gave his funeral oration last sixth weekday for one of the main pastors, the main pastor that died. And his big thing was he linked this crime and the Confederate flag with slavery, which he said is evil. So the flag is evil, you see? But no, slavery is not evil. It's not evil. And he says we have to get rid of this symbol of evil. All right, now here's the hypocrisy part. He's preaching in this AME church in Charleston, North Carolina. And you got all these black so-called Christians. We know they're not true Christians. Only Catholics are true Christians, but they're nominal Christians. They're supposed to be preaching the Word of God. They're supposed to know the Old Testament, the New Testament, and they know it. They preach it. Supposedly, they say they preach it. They do know what it says. They're all sitting behind him, and he's getting up there, and he's speaking. And his big thing about the Confederate flag is, it's evil because it supported slavery. And they're going, hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen, Brother Obama. Oh, Brother Obama. And they're praying with him. They're praising him.
The place where our dignity as a people is inviolate. And there's no better example of this tradition than Mother Emanuel. A church... A church built by blacks seeking liberty, a sacred place, this church. Not just for blacks, not just for Christians, but for every American who cares about the steady expansion of human rights and human dignity in this country. A foundation stone for liberty and justice for all. That's what the church meant. We do not know whether the killer of Reverend Pinckney and eight others knew all of this history. But he surely sensed the meaning of his violent act, an act that he imagined would incite fear and recrimination, violence and suspicion, an act that he presumed would deepen divisions that trace back to our nation's original sin. Oh, but God works in mysterious ways. God has different ideas. He didn't know he was being used by God. For too long, we were blind to the pain that the Confederate flag stirred in too many of our citizens. That flag was a reminder of systemic oppression and racial subjugation. We see that now. Removing the flag from this state's capital would not be an act of political correctness. It would not be an insult to the valor of Confederate soldiers. It would simply be an acknowledgement that the cause for which they fought, the cause of slavery, was wrong. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Now, you black people read your Bible. Slavery is not intrinsically evil. It's a punishment from God for the sins of men and races. And your black race at one time was being punished down south. If you were to stay down there and stay quiet, instead of being liberated from the north, which put you into worse slavery, you sooner or later would have been liberated, but on God's terms, not on the devil's terms. The Jews waited 400 and some years in slavery, and then God finally liberated them. And God's the one who turned them over to slavery. So they know the Bible. So Obama just denied a dogma in the Bible, and they're praising him. And guess what? It gets even worse. This is the same Obama who supports homosexuals getting married, and he supports abortion, and all this is condemned in these black people's Bibles. It's condemned in their own Bible. He's a sodomite. He's a sodomite, and he's in your church. He's praying with you, and you're saying, praise Obama, hallelujah, amazing grace, you hypocrite radical blacks, you hypocrite bastards. And you say you love God? You don't love his commandment against homosexuality, against abortion, killing unborn babies in the womb? You're supporting this bastard Obama, and you're even condemning slavery, which is ordained by God. You're all twisted up in a web and a tangle of deceit. They're more concerned about their black race in flesh than they are about faith in obedience to God. They put race in flesh over grace in faith. So what did our Lord say about these black Christian pastors, right? He says, these people honor me with their lips. They say they're Christians, but their hearts are far from me. And vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and precepts of men. That is Mark 7:6, I think it is. And Isaiah also says it. All right? Doctrines and precepts of men. Even heresy. Calling slavery evil and not condemning him for supporting homosexual marriages. And praying with him even. What our Lord say in 2 John 1, I think it's 9-11. Any man come to you and bring not this doctrine, do not say God speak to you or pray with him. So even according to their own false Christian belief, it's in their Bibles. You're not supposed to pray with that guy. St. Paul says, don't even eat with a fornicator. Don't even eat with them. You're praying with the bastard. They're more concerned about, they want to be elevated above more than what God has placed them. The people that are being elevated today on the highest levels are Jews, apostate Jews, Freemasons, feminists, homosexuals, and radical blacks. That's all you see on TV. Blacks, feminists, homosexuals, and Jews. Blacks, feminists, homosexuals, and Jews. It's all over the news. Why are these people so highly elevated today? I'm not condemning the whole black race, and a lot of black people out there, if they listen to my black sermon, they would know that. I'm condemning the radical blacks. There are a lot of blacks out there that are a lot better. I know that. But I'm still going to say what it is, so you don't be deceived by your own people. They're leading you into perdition. Your own pastors are a bunch of weaklings. And it's not just the black pastors, okay? I don't want to just blame them neither. It's the so-called nominal Catholics that invite Obama to Notre Dame and let him give a speech. It's the Protestants that support Obama and pray for them, let him come into their churches. Almost every so-called Christian in the world today has compromised himself. Not all, though. For example, the coalition of African-American pastors who oppose homosexuality and homosexual marriages wrote a letter to Obama and Eric Holder requesting an audience. And they didn't even get it that much as the courtesy of a response. They didn't even get a response. These black people who are a lot better willed than the other ones. Way better willed. This next clip you're going to hear is from the National Press Club and is recorded by C-SPAN. We go to the clip.
They came in support of our effort to save the family. That marriage should be between a man and a woman. The time has come for a broad base assault against the powers that be that want to change our culture to one of men marrying men and women marrying women. We wrote the president and Mr. Holder May the 2nd requesting an audience with him to discuss this very issue. He has not given us a courtesy of any reply. The Coalition of African American Pastors consists of 3,742 African American pastors, and he has totally ignored us. He has not given us the pleasure of even answering our request, which is very discourteous and unprofessional, first of all. Also, the president has ignored the black community because he feels he has us in his pocket. But we are not in his pocket.
And the president needs to know that he has demonstrated such a dereliction of duty simply because he touted himself as a great broad thinker, a person who can have a conversation with anyone, but yet he has chosen, selectively he has chosen, to overlook this intellectual body of black leaders. And we take grave offense to that. And he needs to know that he does not have a pass, as Dr. Owens has earlier stated. And we will hold him to the fire, because at some point you've got to make it known what you stand for. And he's been all over the charts on many things. And we know that this particular position is a political one, and we are offended.
But they have chosen something to cater to the homosexual community, to cater to Hollywood, to cater to the big-moneyed people. They have chosen that course and just ignored the people that put the president where he is. The president is in the White House because of the civil rights movement, and I was a leader in that movement. And I didn't march 1 inch, 1 foot, 1 yard for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman, and for the homosexual community and for the president to bow to the money, as Judas did with Jesus Christ, is a disgrace, and we're ashamed. We will not take it back. We will not back down. That we are going to take action across this country to change the course that this president is carrying us in. Well, we won't take it. We will stand up, and they will learn. They will learn that they can't do that to any people by destroying religion, by destroying the family. It won't happen on our watch. We will stand up.
I believe that the challenge before the black church today is whether or not we want to become that irrelevant social club, or if we want to recapture the prophetic voice that we once had. I stand today with this great coalition to affirm our position on traditional marriage. It is our belief that marriage is between one man and one woman, and the right of marriage should only be afforded to those for whom it was originally intended. We're challenging the African American community to reevaluate its strong, wholehearted support for President Obama, because this issue is more than just politics. This is a moral issue that we must stand for and be clear about, not just for this generation, but for generations to come. We believe that this election is a pivotal election, and that those who hold the Bible as sacred, and those particularly black Americans who are a part of the Democrat Party, must reevaluate today whether or not they will stand for biblical principles over political policy. It is our hope that many within the black community will stand with the Word of God, will stand with truth, and will become a strong, independent voice for the soul of America.
And we can come back together, the people who put him in office, come back together and admit he made a mistake. All people make mistakes. He has made a bad mistake that will affect the history of this country. I am ashamed that the first black president chose this road. And so think about what you're doing by giving the president a pass in this arena, in this fight, by saying it's okay because we are black and you're black and we're going to stand you. Mr. President, I'm not going to stand with you. And there are thousands of others across this country that are not going to stand with you with this foolishness.
This next clip is from the Manning Report by Pastor James David Manning of Otla Ministries, Harlem, New York.
I will not honor a man that will allow his child to be taught, whether it's by the Supreme Court or by some sissified school teacher, that sodomy is right. My brother, if you let your child be taught that, you are not worthy of God, you're not worthy of a seat in heaven. And if I be the judge during the days of the regeneration, I will send you to hell. I will send every man to hell that will not take up, that will not defend his child against this perversion, of God's word and against God himself as these perverts. I will not allow you in heaven. And they're deep in the heart of Dixie are these sentiments. They will march north in the days to come to rescue the north. To rescue the North from the burning cities, from the runaway unemployment, from the massive crime that goes on like the sun shining, the crime waves, the massive hatred, the massive allowance of the likes of an Al Sharpton or a Jesse Jackson, the massive institution like Harvard teaching perversion, teaching socialism, teaching against the Constitution. Many are prepared to march on the Supreme Court and to storm the White House. I say to all Americans and people of goodwill worldwide that you should not be concerned so much now about ISIS or about Islamic flying a flag over the White House. What you need to be concerned about now is a Confederate flag being flown over the White House. That is more real than your breakfast cereal. That fact that a Confederate flag can soon fly over the White House, over these mayor's offices, over these state capitals, in these wretched cities of burning like Detroit, Chicago, that will be rescued. This will be sweet, if you will, justice of what happened in the first war. Because surely the Confederates and the South will win this time. There's no doubt about it. They will win this time. Be ye ever so mindful. Be ye ever so mindful. You're not going to push this sodomy. You allow this Kenyan African who hates Jesus. Obama hates Jesus. Just look at Jeremiah Wright, his father in the perverted ministry, or James Cone, or others. And yet, these southern, these northerners and these liberals put a hater of God, a hater of the Bible, a hater of the blood of Jesus in the White House. And it must be rescued. It must be rescued the way the Union forces claimed they were rescuing the sons of slaves and slaves in the Civil War. Now the nation must be rescued from the liberal God haters and those that are pushing this sodomy agenda. America will be rescued, and the rescuers will be the Confederates, the Southerners, those that have been bloodwashed, bloodbought, Bible-believing, locked and loaded. Me, I'm James David Manning, and I want to be one of them.
And we hear from another coalition of black pastors who oppose homosexuality and homosexual marriages. I quote from the Detroit Free Press, "A coalition of black pastors have condemned gay marriage. The Christian conservative Thomas More Law Center," how that Thomas More, that he's an apostate, by the way, folks, "filed an amicus brief in Michigan's gay marriage trial Wednesday on behalf of 110 black pastors from Detroit, elsewhere in Michigan and Ohio. A group of the pastors addressed their legal challenge Wednesday at a rally at the First Baptist World Changers International Church in Detroit. Reverend Stacy Swimp of Flint said gay marriage would destroy the backbone of our society, according to the Detroit Free Press. Another pastor said religious leaders who support homosexuality are the enemy of God. And that was Pastor Roland Caldwell from Burnett Inspiration Baptist Church. We're going to go to a clip and you're going to hear from him now.
I want you to know that the fight is not only on the inside, but the fight is also in the church. And we have to stand, we that love God and believe, we've got to tell the preachers that are standing up for homosexuality that either you're with God or you're against him. And if you are against God, you're against me. We cannot promote any more preachers that are promoting sin. We cannot promote any more pastors that are allowing homosexuals to run their church, to be over their children. We must step back and tell them, like my cousin told a preacher, "You are my enemy." Anybody that's an enemy of God is an enemy of mine. And so we as preachers, we've got to stand. And now the fight is on. Somebody say the fight is on.
There you go. Will you hear that from a nominal Catholic priest in the pulpit?
Yeah.
But if anybody speaks like that, and like I do, you're persona non grata in the United States harlot. You're not going to hear about people like us in the mainstream media. So where is the love of God with the liberal black pastors who praised Obama and prayed with him? Who are more concerned about slavery, which is ordained by God, and the Confederate flag, which is a lot less evil than the USA flag. And now you're forcing them to take down the Confederate flag when they were the much lesser of evils in that war. The North was way more evil than the South. Well, this is all going to cause a succession of the states. It's leading in that direction. And where is these black ministers' concern for black crime in the inner city? Where they'd only just mug whites. They mug their own people. They hurt their own people. And you never, ever, ever hear it on the major news reports. It's always the big bag whitey. Big bag whitey. Obama says we still have a lot of oppression to overcome. Yeah, including you. Including you, you racist bastard. They're racist. They are. Himself. Why? Because you never see anything about the blacks when they mug whites, rape whites. You know the things they say about whites, don't you, Obama? You grew up black, you know. And all your ministers know what goes on in the inner cities, what they say about white people. I will go to a clip from a black man, Eric Thomas, who goes by the name Eric D. on YouTube. He shows some goodwill in exposing the crimes of his own people, and he speaks from firsthand experience. The radical blacks call him a coon, Uncle Tom, and a self-hating black.
And what I want to talk about is everybody with this, you know, this victim complex. You know, I really understand what white people are saying about black people need to chill out, stop complaining, work hard, and do what they got to do. See, you know, I really do feel like when you think about it, man, black people got it good in this country. You know what I'm saying? Black people is driving Benzes and Bentleys and, you know, but we sitting over here talking about, oh my goodness, the white people this and the white people that. What is these doing to us? Like, honestly, like, I think I'm gonna title this video, white people are not the problem. I don't know what I'm gonna title this video, but black people are responsible for 95% of our own problem. There's been a few cases of white people gunning innocent young black men down, but I mean, wait a minute. There's been way more than just a few instances of black people gunning other black people down. I mean, everybody that I know who's actually lived in the hood before, everybody knows somebody who has gotten shot before. You know what I'm saying? If you live, if you from the hood like I am, because I know a lot of people who got shot. Out of all the people you know that got shot, how many got shot by a white person? See, black people, we need to clean house before we get to talking about, oh, we need to go and attack these white people. And, you know, and I tell people all the time, so what basically y'all trying to encourage me that I need to go out and riot. I got people on Facebook calling me a coon. Okay, saying that I'm a self-hater because I'm always talking about what black people need to do instead of going along with this whole I hate whitey, I hate crackers rhetoric. I'm not going along with that. And the reason why I'm not going along with that is because it's stupid. White people are not responsible for the majority of our problems. If I'm walking through LA, guess who I gotta watch my back from? I gotta watch my ass because it's these niggas rolling up and down the street wanting to bust a cap in my ass. I mean, just honestly. Honestly, I've never gotten robbed by white people. I've never gotten guns pulled on me by white people. And trust me, I've been robbed and I've had guns put on me. Okay? It's never been by white people. You know, I can't get mad at police for treating me like a criminal because I'm black. Because most of the black people that they deal with, or most of the criminals that they deal with, are black. I mean, come on now. How many of us knows a white person that wants to be a thug? I'm not saying they don't exist, but I'm saying they're not that common. Even though, despite the fact that there are more white people in this country than blacks. Now, ask yourself, how many black people want to be a thug? How many black people do you know either got tattoos all over their body, they walk around claiming either Crip or Blood? I mean, come on now. You know what I'm saying? But we get mad when police treat us like criminals and police assume that we must be from a gang when they stop us. They assume we must be up to no good. I mean, come on now. Most of the people they deal with are criminals and most of them niggas be black. If we gonna be mad at anybody, we need to be mad at the black men in our society, because technically it's not white people's job to protect black folks. It's not. It's black folks' job to protect black folks. And what are the men of the black community doing? Are they building up the community and uplifting the community, or are they destroying? And they can say, oh, well, you know, we're manipulated by the media, which is true. Manipulated, brainwashed, programmed, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? By the media and by rap music, you know. But that's why I say unplug from that. Y'all hear me talking right now? I never watch TV. I don't even have a the only TV I have is this small TV right here that I use for my computer monitor. That is the only TV that I have. I did not follow the Trayvon Martin case, the George Zimmerman trial. I did not follow that because I understand that the media is trying to think about it. Why did they throw the idea out there as to you know, black people are going to riot? Black people never said nothing about rioting. You know what I'm saying? But now that the media threw that out there, now black people feel like this is something that they're supposed to do. And y'all can call me a self-hater. The truth is the truth. I love being black. I love being black. You know what I'm saying? Call me a self-hater. It is what it is. We need to clean our own house. Let's say if I lived in Arkansas, you know what I'm saying? Or let's say I lived in Washington, D.C. You know, that's more of a familiar state. Let's say I lived in Washington, D.C. It's a lot of black people in Washington. Okay, I live in Washington, D.C. And I decide, since the Florida courts found George Zimmerman innocent, and then since somebody threw the idea at me, the media, oh, black people are going to riot. Okay, so with these two things, I decide, even though I'm in Washington, I'm all the way in Washington, D.C. I'm not in Florida. I'm in Washington, D.C. So I decide to go out and beat up the bus driver because he's white. You know what I'm saying? This man got a 9-to-5, just like a lot of black people got a 9-to-5. But I'm going to go and beat him up because he's white over some shit that happened in Florida. Is that really a good solution? Is beating on white people really a good solution? Black people make me sick with their stupidity. They really do. They really do. It is ridiculous. It is very sad to know how stupid a human being can be. And I don't remember who said this, but somebody said this today. They said a human being that doesn't have intelligence is an animal. And that's basically what these niggas are. And y'all say, oh, you use the word nigga. Because when I say nigga, I'm not talking about black men. When I say nigga, I'm not talking about the people who's working 9-to-5s. I'm not talking about the black guy who works at FedEx. I'm talking about niggas. There's a difference between niggas and black people. Y'all need to understand this. It's not going to be people like me who got a job, who got a 9-to-5. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it ain't going to be people like us who actually works and understands a little bit about what life is and what life is about, which is survival. It's not going to be people like us who got jobs and families who going to go and try to riot and burn down. That's not going to be us. That's going to be them niggas. That's going to be them niggas who ain't got no jobs. Niggas that's in and out of jail. This is a cancer in our community, and we need to get rid of them.
How come you never hear that? Never. They're exalting these radical blacks that were put under the yoke of God in slavery for the punishment of their own sins. You know, the African blacks are way better than the American blacks. They're the most spoiled bastards in the world over here. You know, it says in the Bible, you give somebody freedom or raise them up, that's not even worthy of it, then he's going to cause more trouble. I'm not against blacks being eventually taken out of slavery. They will be. Not all blacks were in slavery anyway. Their own black people in Africa had slaves and black slave owners in Africa. It's not just a matter of being black neither. But I'm just trying to point out some major, humongous hypocrisies here. What are these black ministers more concerned about? This guy just passed a law that said queers can get married. It's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're praying with him. They're praising him. And they're saying nothing about him. He's got rainbows up all on his thing over there. This is the hypocrisy that we're looking at today. Well, my prayer for all you people out there is that you better start waking up, because all these signs are just abundant proof that we're living in the final days. Antichrist is just coming around the corner to come to power. This is the kind of world created for him. All right? And mostly I pray for you to come into the true Catholic Church before it's too late, before you die, which is only with us few people here that I know about. We're the only true Catholics in the whole world. First and foremost, to have a hope to save your soul, and also to fight against these bastards with the power of the true God behind you, because we're the only ones in which the true God is behind 100%. Now, the true God, who's a Catholic God, he also helps other people that defend the natural law. He does, but they're not going to have his full protection. Only we do. All right, we're going to be leading what you're going to call this civil war, this counter movement against the Antichrist and the evil forces. We're going to be the leaders of it right here. But even now, in regards to this thing we were talking about today, I tell everybody of goodwill and has a natural law, because we all have it, to civilly protest against these things and start making a big stink. Because look, it's not going to end here. They're going to start locking us up and coming into our churches and forcing us to try to believe like they do. And that's when we, as Catholics, have to die as martyrs. And the only true martyr are Catholics. Everybody else who dies outside the Catholic Church, even for whatever his faith is, he can't be saved. So be concerned with that also. But right now, we're at least directing our combat against these grossly immoral homosexuals, black radicals, feminists, apostate Jews, Freemasons, and so forth and so on. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.